If you would, if you would. I kind of think of it, really, God always has here the people who he wants to have here. And my thoughts always go to the ones that left. That's not correct. But it should be, this is the people God wants to have here, and these are the people, you and I, who are here. We've worked through James together. Wow. And if you've stuck in there for 5 weeks, you've done a lot. And we're going to wrap it up today. But I did say at the beginning, whoever would read James the most, I had a very unique and special gift. And I try to be a person of my word. And so this gift is, no, it's not a trip around the world. And it's not a gift card for Texas Roadhouse, because I would keep that. But Jackie has been really faithful in telling us how many times she read it. And I gave her a pack of cards. And you can look at them, Jackie, not now. But they're a tool. They're just a tool to learn the scriptures better. And if that's profitable to you, we're glad for you. Now, the handouts went around again. And as you know me, I'm a person of handouts, or I like to have notes, I always do. And if you've appreciated them, our secretary, Adrian, took this absolute glob of mess that I gave her, and she put that all together. And she did a great job. So if they've been beneficial to you, I don't want to pat on the back. I don't even type, I don't. But Adrian put that all together for us, so that we could learn, as my grandson said when he was 2 years old, we can learn more better. So just let her know, thank you, that's all. Now, we've been going through the book of James, and I'm not going to do a long review because I can't remember it all. But we started off in week one, you know, who was James? And we went through that a little bit. You know, he was there in the early church, Acts 1 through 7. Then also he had a big input in the Jerusalem Council, looks like keynote speaker. Then we went into chapter 1. Chapter 1, we learned two words. Verse 3 was the word know, and it was a deeper word. It was gnosko. It meant to know someone deeply and really intimately. And God used through the Holy Spirit this word to say that for us to know, all of us, when we hit trials of various kinds, and we all do, and if we want to be honest with ourselves, we're usually going through them every week when we're here together. They're trials from inward and outward. He said, but know these trials are for our growth and for our good, and they're designed by God. Then he said later to know the word implanted. And that's so important that it takes heart. And we're going to see in chapter 5 that it now uses the word established in our hearts. So he develops it more and more. Then we went in to chapter 2, and that was the do and do nots. First, it was a do not. Do not in any way judge through favoritism, through partiality, through being impartial to someone. He said, don't judge. It's not ours. But then he said, you can do this, and he wants us to do good works. And that's always been a big debate, and we talked about it. But to do the good works, he said in chapter 2, verse 22, what it does, it accommodates our faith. It doesn't make our faith, but those good works accommodate our faith. And then he said they complete our faith. They make our faith mature. Again, it's not the good works. It's a mature faith is completed by good works. And Dave gave us a word that was really nice, and I've tried to learn it. With those good works, they help our faith validate our faith. It makes our faith validated. So then after that, we went in and last week we put two chapters together, chapter 3 and chapter 4. That was a big bite. And we said, we got to make good choices. That's what it's about. Making good choices. And the first good choice was choose your words wisely. And that's what we think of the book of James. Am I okay? Oh, okay. I thought you were going to throw something at me again. No. Choose our words wisely. And we see that our words, like the bit, like the rudder, it can be like a fire. Our words can be used to control. Our words are very powerful. And our words, even our words amongst ourselves, can be very destructive. So use them wisely. Think about them before you say them. Just take a moment and think about the words you're going to say. And then the second thing he said, choose your wisdom. And we spent the rest of the time in chapter 3 and 4 choosing our wisdom wisely. He said there's a wisdom that's from the world. And this was ugly. He said it's earthly, the wisdom that comes to us from the world. It's unspiritual. And he said even it's demonic. James said that, not me. It's demonic. So, watch which wisdom we follow. But then he said in chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, there's a wisdom that comes down from above. And as Pastor Tom just riveted us this morning so well through the Spirit of God, that to be merciful, to be merciful. But he said the wisdom that comes down from above is first pure, then peaceable. It's gentle. It's open to reason. And then he said it's full of mercy, full of good fruits. And then he said it's impartial. And last, he said it's sincere. And we saw that that wisdom kind of sets the course for our life. Now today, I didn't pass out my cards. I'm going to ask a couple people to read for us. Dave, can I ask you like I always do? And then somebody close to Dave. If someone be willing to read? Blah, blah, blah. Anybody? Anybody feel like? I'm not going to. Oh, we got one. Because we're gonna read chapter 5. And the homework from last week was to see if, when you read the book of James, see if you can see how he starts one thing. We said he pre-teaches, then he teaches in depth. And one was on prayer, and we're going to see that the second half of chapter 5. But we're going to see how he develops prayer. And then we're going to see how he developed the word steadfast. That's going to be really, I think, a great thing. So what I'd like to start with is just chapter 5. And who's, Dave, you have that. And we're going to read verses 1 through 5, or 1 through 6, excuse me. I've got to read my own handout.
Thank you.
And when we look at this, I really think when James is winding down the book, he's at the end of this. It's a short book, 5 chapters. But he's going to tell us 2 things, just 2 words this week. The first word, can you see on the handout, is compromise. He said, I think what I see here, and this will be open to discussion, he's trying to encourage us not to compromise. And then the second half of the book, or of the chapter, starts chapter verse 7 through the end, verse 20. He's telling us to make commitments. And you're going to see in the second half why. And it's just like, it's a real eye-opener for the book of James. But we're going to do the first few verses, and there's just a big influence. He doesn't use the word compromise. But I do. And I think you'll find it true right here. And this was told to me when I was right out of high school. And I remember it since then. There's no convenient stopping place on the downhill slide of compromise. Do you find that true? So many things, as soon as you compromise a little bit, it's like a landslide. So, Dave, would you read, first of all, James chapter 5, and read through us verses 1 through 6, and see if you can see this there.
Come now, you rich, weep and howl for the miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches have rotted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver have corroded, and their corrosion will be evidence against you, and will eat your flesh like fire. You have laid up treasures in the last days. Behold, the wages of your laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, are crying out against you, and the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived on the earth in luxury and in self-indulgence. You have fatted your hearts in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the righteous person. He does not resist you.
Now follow with me. Look in verse 2 and 3. Dave just read that. He said, come now. He's calling the rich people. He said, come now, you rich. Now, that can be really relative on where you live at in the world, correct? Most of the world standards, you and I are all very rich. But either way, he said, come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries which are coming upon you. What's happened to all that wealth? Your riches have what? They're rotten. Your gold and silver, what happened to it? It's burned up. It's gone. It must be me. We moved into a neighborhood, how many years ago, Judy, help me? A while ago. But I'll tell you right now, our house is here. When I look out to the street, the house a little bit to the right has had a dumpster in front of it because they died. Shirley and Dennis's house, straight across from us. Dennis died, Shirley moved, dumpster. You know, you've seen them, right? The house right to the left of me. Husband dies, wife goes to a nursing home. What do they have in the driveway? Dumpster. Now that's all, those ones are gone. Today, if you come to my house, you'll see the house right to the right of us. Husband has passed away, Christian man, really enjoyed knowing him. Wife is living in a facility now. Guess what's in the backyard right now?
A dumpster, because nobody wants it.
Just because you got the cards don't mean you get to teach.
No, it happened to me when my husband died.
Yes, yeah.
All my stuff went in the dumpster.
The dumpster.
But his stuff, my stuff.
Get the point there, though. Get the point. You got it. You got it.
Right.
We hold on to so much, don't we? It's the hoarding. Be careful. Be careful. He said, come now, you rich, weep and howl, for the miseries which is coming upon you, your riches have rotten, and your gold and silver have corroded you, and it will consume your flesh like fire. Oh, I was just like, oh. I'm surrounded by dumpsters in the neighborhood. They're not all there now. But you got the point. You got the point. So much of what we hold on to so tightly, ends up in a dumpster. So I think the point is, he's telling us, don't hoard. Don't hold on to it. If God gave it to you, God gave it to you for a reason, and share it. All right, so there's no compromise on this. That's the point. There's no compromise. Then he said, what happened to the money they withheld? Now, this is fraud. Now, fraud, you can give me a definition, I'll tell you a simple one. It's deceit for gaining finances. He said, you've held on to the wages of the laborers who mowed your field. It's wrong. But the fraud goes both ways. What happened if I'm supposed to give things? God has given me things and I did not give them away to those who need it. Do you see the reversal of that? It's just like God gave it to me, not so I can hold on to it and put it, and my kids will put it in the dumpster when I die. You know, come on, it's gonna happen to all of us. Just man up here, Greg. I can't believe my, well, anyways. The point is, let's try not to hold on to it. If God gave us stuff, let's give it out to everybody else. Make it easy. Make it simple, easy there. And he said, because of that, because you held on to it too long, the outcry of those you've hurt. I had stuff that people can use. I'm sure I do. I got to be careful. Got to be careful. Has reached who? The ears of who? What's your Bible say? The Lord of what? The Lord of hosts. Who is that? Now, what does that mean? And if you have an idea, just throw it out at me. Who is the Lord of hosts? What's he saying here? Now, if it looks tricky to you, it is. It only happens, this phrase appears in the whole Bible, mostly in the Old Testament. Now you can tell I got a brand new concordance for Christmas. That lists how many times things happen. The words, 261 times in the Bible, the Lord of hosts. What's it mean? So, I'm not really more intelligent than you. I just had a chance to prepare a lot more than you did. The Lord of armies, the Lord of armies, and it's heavenly armies. We've got an army of angels. Don't you love the Negro spiritual? Well, I looked up to heaven, what did I see? A band of hosts coming after me. Just like he said, the earthly wisdom is worldly, unspiritual, and demonic. The prince of this world, our verse of the month for September of 24 was 1 Peter 5:8. And I'm not asking you to say it because I got those verse cards. But he said, your adversary, the devil, roars about like a sleeking lion, seeking whom he may devour. And yet you and I have the Lord of hosts, don't we? We have the army of angels. So ask the Lord to help us. What did he say in James 1? We don't have because we don't ask. May it never be. May it never be. I'd love to give you some examples of prayer, but let me tell you something. Then I'm going to throw one at you. I picked up an old mower. I want to take it to my grandson. I don't know how to fix these. I figured if I can't fix it, I'll ask Jim Farrell. He's not here right now because he's good at it.
Yes, he is.
Right. Oh, boy. I already put my foot in my mouth. But I'll tell you what. I did what I could. This is the honest truth. I didn't lay my hand on it. It wasn't a healing service. Jim, you know the mower I got Monday. I did what I can. That's the point. I put a plug on, I put it here, blah, 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 blah. And I asked the Lord to get this old mower started. I want to give it to my grandson. He's going to cut lines. Nothing. About the third one. You guys know that. Put, put, put. And I went in and told Judy, God got the mower running. Because he did. If it matters to us, it matters to God. That's just the way it is. But we have a Lord, the Lord of hosts. So don't hold on to stuff we don't have to hold on to. Just get the idea here. Let's don't compromise anything. There's no convenient stopping place on that downhill side of compromise. And then he said, he talked about in verse 6, you've murdered and condemned and put to death the righteous man. He does not resist you. I don't know if they put a knife in him or not. You know, I've read a lot of different books and commentaries, but I've seen the word murder happens 3 times, and I wrote them on your hand out there. But it definitely means you mistreat other people, okay? We can agree on that. Mistreatment of other people. So he said, don't do that. And Pastor Tom just laid it out so well. Not even our enemies. Not even our enemies. So, you know, let's treat each other well. Let's don't hold on to things we don't have to hold on to. And if God's given you some things, it doesn't mean you throw them all away and give them all away, but it means share it. Just reach out to others. And if you have a chance like Mike and Jim and I to work with Helping Hands, and there's so many different men, Helping the Hands of Ladies, there's the ministry that goes down to helps with the meals. You know, just there's so much. But you get the blessing, don't you? You get the blessing. You're going to Warm Springs this summer, aren't you? You get blessed, don't you, Kathy?
Oh, yeah.
You get blessed. So that's the first half of James, chapter 5. Any thoughts or questions? It's amazing no one has any here. And twice after Sunday school, someone said, I'm going to send you an email because I was, you know, I got, okay. Okay. And if you don't want to speak out, that's all right.
Wealth and stuff like that. But when my husband died, I buried him in a pine box with a shirt, pants, and shoes. He took nothing with him. Right? You can't take it with you.
Can't take it with you
it
when you go.
It stays here.
Yeah, or it goes to the dumpster.
That's right, or it goes in the dumpster, yeah. Or it gets burned, or it goes in a big garage sale, or whatever, but you can't take it with you.
Yeah, you're right.
And you know, and I'm guilty of this, we spend a lot of time of our lives collecting stuff, right? And then when he died, I had to get rid of all that stuff. And it...
How many times have we emptied out our garages, guys? Yeah, how many times? But the point is right. You can't take it with you.
You can't take it with you.
Yeah. So let's figure out why God gave it to us.
While we're here, we might as well get rid of it.
Try to share it.
You have it, it breaks. You have to fix it. That's
right.
Wow. Wow. Okay, let's read the second. Any other thoughts or questions on James chapter 5? This is kind of, I really think it's kind of easy. It's James 5, anyways, 1 through 6. Now we're going to bite off a big one that's going to, like a piece of jerky. We're going to have to chew on this one for a while. This is a tougher one. And I'm going to share some things with you that are going to be fairly new. So if you don't agree with it, talk to me after class, and that's okay. First of all, who has that card? Okay, what I want you to do, Mike, I want you to read chapter 5, verse 19 and 20. Not quite yet. I want you to listen to this, and I want you to tell me what you think this means. Because this is like, what? And this is the very last thing James is going to say. So it's like he's given us that application. You know, this is the bullet point. This is the application that's coming. And what I want to show you here, and Mike will read it in a second, I think that this chapter 5, verses 7 through 20. This is all building up to these two verses. So we're going to read them. Mike's going to read them. One second, Mike. Then I'm going to talk about them for a minute. And then I'll have you read the whole thing. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins.
How many of you have known someone that's walked away from the Lord? Don't raise your hand. Don't say a name. Don't do that. How many of you don't know someone that has walked away from the Lord? All of us do, don't we? Could be a friend in church. Could be a family member. We all know that. We have different words. You know, we say they're backslidden. We say the Lord Jesus, you know, the parable of the prodigal son. Is this what he's talking about here? Sure sounds like it. Sure sounds like it, doesn't it? Brothers. What's he say, Mike? Help me. Brothers, if someone wanders from the truth,
yep,
and one of you see it and bring him back, the one who brings back a sinner from the error of his way will save his what?
Soul?
Whoa. From what? Death.
Mine says death.
Yeah. What's it talking about? I think, and see if you'll follow with me when we go through these verses. One, it's a brother that walks away from the Lord, or a sister that walks away from the Lord, strays, and there's different places in Scripture, but this place says, don't go after them like, ba, 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 ba. The Bible says, and you're going to go to hell. You know, it's not saying that. It's not saying that. We're going to see that it's going to tell us, first, be patient. Second, be honest with them. But third, be prayerful. That, I think, is what James is showing. James knew it, didn't he? The Holy Spirit inspired it. He said, when someone wanders away from the truth and one of you goes to save their soul from death, will cover a multitude of sins. This is just a sharp little quick lesson here. In the New Testament, you have the word mind, heart, and soul, okay? Mind, heart, and soul. We use them, we'll see them all through the New Testament. No, I didn't add them up, so I don't know the numbers. But what's the difference? Basically, and almost always in the New Testament, when it says the heart, it's dealing with the emotions, okay? When it says the mind, it's dealing with the intellect. Now watch this one. When it says the soul, it's dealing with the will. You save his will from death and cover a multitude of sin. It's in the will and nature of some to go this way so hard. But when you come to them, and we're going to see in just a moment, first of all, with patience, secondly, with truth, but thirdly, with prayer, you'll save their soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Now, you got the basis there. Now, Mike, would you read the verses in chapter 5, verses 7 through 20?
Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophet who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who have remained steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. But above all, my brothers, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth, or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes, and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it's working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins.
Okay, I told you what I thought, and that's fine. Now we're going to move through this slow, and I'm going to try to leave time. And if you have thoughts or questions, just put your hand up or start talking. We're a small group. We can do that and get away with it. But he's asking us to commit. And the first thing he asked us to commit to is what? What's number one on your handout? I want you to see that you got it there. I'll sit in Sunday school class and I'll say, Tom, Pastor Tom, that was so good. Then I'll get in the car. What did he say? I'm not sure, but it was really good.
Patience.
Yeah, patience. Thank you. Thank you, Beth. Thank you. Be patient. He said, establish your what? Verse 8, establish your hearts. Be patient. Now, I'm thinking here, and I'm honest with you, about the person who strays away. You know you're the ones you're connected with, your family members, blah, 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 blah. And I know the ones in my heart, in my life. But he says, be patient. And he said, Greg, not me, but Hughes, establish your heart. Establish your heart. Wow. Now watch what he says next. Verse 9. He said, do not grumble, do not speak against another brother, and don't judge him. Where did that come from?
Grumbling against each other.
Don't we do it? And we do it so well. I don't have too many medals, but I got a medal for that. But how about when that brother or sister strays? as Pastor Tom has explained to us so well, instead of putting the squeak in the shoe, I like to grumble, speak against them, and complain about them.
He's calling grumbling judging.
Yeah. Too. Yep. Very much. And it fits, and I don't want to push it too hard. When we see the brother or sister strain, we grumble, we speak against them, and we judge them. And what I'm doing is nailing myself here. Okay, but then he says in verses 7 through 11, he gives us three examples of patience. Look at the farmer, you know, who, how many of you planted anything this spring? If you, I planted grass seed, every day I look at it.
Did it grow without the rain?
I do. I just, every day I'm watching it. You can, yeah, every day. There's no patience about this stuff. So he uses the example of the farmer waits for the early rain and the late rain. The late rain is in the fall to get the harvest, blah, 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 blah. He's trying to teach us to be patient. And I think to establish my heart and be patient about those loved ones that are straying. Then he says the prophets. Look at them. Wow. Were they patient? 19 prophets in the Old Testament. And they surely didn't get too much fruit, did they? We know that the southern kingdom was taken to Assyria. And then we know the northern kingdom was taken to Babylon. But the patience of the prophets kept establishing their hearts in the Word of God. Then he gives this, here's the one, Job. We all say the patience of who?
Job.
In Job chapter 23, verse 10, I put it there, but I'll tell you what it says. He said, when he has tried me. Who was in charge of all that? God was. Various trials for us from chapter 1, verse 3. God puts all of us through various trials. When he has tried me, I shall come forth shining as gold. When he gets, gold was considered gold, but they melt it down, scrape the impurities away, melt that down, scrape the impurities away, and then they get the pure gold. When God gets all the junk out of our life, when he has tried me, then I shall come forth shining as gold. Now, look at Job. And I want to show you that his faith grew. The Word of God says in James verse 11 of chapter 5, blessed are those who remain what? Who, say it again loud.
Steadfast.
What did we learn in chapter 1? I said James will pre-teach. He'll start something, then he'll explain and detail it later. What do you mean? He talked in chapter 1 about prayer, right? You don't have because you do not ask. Then he said, later, you ask and don't receive because you ask with wrong motives. Now we're going to see how many verses that he deal with prayer. A lot in chapter 5. See, he pre-teaches a little bit, then he explains it. He pre-teaches in chapter 1, verse 3, we've all gone under various trials knowing that the testing of our faith produces steadfastness. Different translations, one will put, the New American Standard says endurance, NIV says persistence, patience. This is what Job laid out. Steadfast, persistence, patience. And then what did he receive at the end? How did God bless Job? I'm baiting you. What? How did God bless? Blessed is the man who remains steadfast. Verse 11. Job remained steadfast, and we think of God doubled everything he had. Be careful, because I tried to set you up. Now I want you to just look at that pyramid there, okay? And I'm going to tell you what the verses say, because I don't want to take the time to look them up, but you can. In chapter 9 of Job, verse 33, he says, and he cries out loud, I don't have an arbiter. And I'm like, why do they make such difficult words? The NIV says advocate. I don't have anybody advocating for me. Anyone speaking up for me. That's what Job is saying. Now watch this steadfast faith. Watch it. Now what's it happen in chapter 16, verse 19? He cries out and says, my witness isn't here, my witness is in heaven. First he didn't have any advocate, then he had a witness, but that witness was way up in heaven. Now what does he say last of all in chapter 19, verse 25? I know that my Redeemer, what? Did you see what happened in those three verses? Just, I wish we all had to meditate on that for an hour. I don't have an arbitrator. My witness is way up in heaven. And then he uses the word know. I know. Well, didn't he say, I know what my personal, intimate Redeemer lives. I think the blessing that God blessed Job with was his faith grew through his sanctification. I know his possessions were, you know, doubled and blah, 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 blah. But I think in the scripture, we see Job's faith increasing as it's steadfast and God blesses it. He sees a little bit more. He sees a little bit more. And then at the end, he said, I know this, guys. I know. It's just deeply and intimately. I got this gnosko thing going on here that my Redeemer lives. Wow. Now think of that in our trials. All of us are in trials. If you're not, you're very, enjoy the moment, because they're going to come. Enjoy the moment. But in the end, he gets to say, I know that my Redeemer lives. That's how he's so truly blessed. Now, that's the first thing. Be patient when it comes to our growth and to those who are straying. But then he says, secondly, I'm going to put the word verse 12, be honest. He said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Where did he get that? He got it from the Lord Jesus Christ on the Sermon on the Mount. Come on, that's his brother. Jesus said the exact same words. Let your yes be yes. And I think James was like, okay, I'm getting it. And he really got it after the resurrection. And let your no be no. This honesty, just pure honesty. The scripture says, you know, the law came by Moses, but watch this, grace and truth came by who? Jesus Christ. So in our honesty with one another, in our honesty with those who may be wandering from the truth, maybe they're not real far down the path, but they're wandering away, be honest, speak with grace and truth. And the Apostle Paul said, may that always be seasoned with what? Salt. Seasoned with salt. Can you see a little progression there? Be patient with those wandering from the truth. Be honest with those who are wandering from the truth. And then he goes into a little bit broader explanation of prayer. Now, I had fun. I got on my phone. I asked Siri's the best friend I have. Sometimes I said, Siri, how many different types of prayer in the scripture? There's seven different types of prayer. Oh, next day, Siri, how many different types of prayer in scripture? 13 different types of prayer. I'm like, okay. Point being, there's a lot of different types of prayer. A lot of different types of prayer, isn't there? Now, when we move into this last section, I want you to think of our Lord Jesus Christ and what James may have learned through watching his brother. Isn't it amazing? Now watch this. When the fellow was lame and he couldn't get into the house to see Jesus and he was hoping to get healed, his friends took him up on the what? on the roof, and they did what? And what did Jesus say? Because of, didn't say his faith, because of their faith, he was healed. Think about that. Because of their faith. Wow. Why do we pray for others? Why do we pray for the sick? Why do we pray for the wandering? Because we're all blessed, aren't we? We're all blessed. Think of Jairus' daughter. She was dead. She wasn't praying for herself. And the Lord Jesus said, because of your faith, Jairus, she will be well. Ooh. She's not praying for herself. It's other people praying for other people. You catch that? Catch that? How about the centurion servant? He said, oh, Lord, my faithful servant, you know, is sick unto death, sick, you know, dying. If he would just say it, he'll be healed. And he said to the centurion servant, because of your faith, your servant is well. Go home. My encouragement from the scripture is that we pray for one another. And that's what James says right here. To pray for one another so that they may be what?
Healed. So that you may be healed.
You're like a great echo. I love it. Do you get the point? James saw that. Ah. And if they have committed sins, they'll be what? Forgiven. Oh, what's he mean there? I'm going to just throw this one on you. I think he's saying that make sure we pray with a clean heart. We know the verses. Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord does not what? Hear. He doesn't. Men, I know it's reciprocal, but this is what Peter said in 1 Peter 3. He said, if we don't honor our wives, our prayers will be hindered. That is reciprocal. But if we're not honoring where honor is due, honor our parents, honor those who are in leadership over us spiritually, our prayers will be hindered. Wow. I'm going to share this with you. I think Corrie Ten Boom has really put this prayer part of this puzzle. Judy shared this with me, and I shared it with many folks already, something Judy read. Corrie Ten Boom, you know, just deep theological monk. No, she's just a real little servant of the Lord, if you read. Anyway, what does she say about prayer? She said, prayer should be our steering wheel, not our spare tire. Yeah, just, you know, if you learn that, go home with that. Because Corrie put it together for all of us. Prayer should be our steering wheel and not our spare tire. Book of James, chapter 5. I think, first of all, he's telling us, don't compromise. You know, don't be hoarding. Don't be mistreating people. It's just not good. And then he's drawing us to commitment. To commitment, first of all, sounds like a sermon here, not teaching. First of all, what's he asking us to be committed to? Be patient. Be patient. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Be patient. Then he's, be honest. Be honest. You know, yes be yes, no be no. Be a person of integrity. And may you speak with grace and with truth. And then thirdly, just be in prayer. Because as we gather together, hope all of us will be here till we all go home to glory. And that's probably one at a time. But none of us stray. None of us. But if someone wanders from the truth, then if one of us can turn them back, you'll save their soul, their will to walk away from death and cover a multitude of sins that they could get into. And just think about that with those that you know have strayed or straying now. it's helpful. Thoughts and questions? Thoughts and questions? Quiet. Okay. Let me close in prayer. Father, thank you for Pastor Tom's reminder to each of us to love our enemies and to be merciful as you are merciful. Help us, Father, to be patient, to be honest, and to be prayerful for those who we know are straying. Give us the ability, the strength, in the Spirit of God to work through us. Amen. Thank you.